Well, there was a number of directions we could have gone with today's text, because there always are. I could have preached on jazz, as it says in our Amos reading, that they improvised on musical instruments, which is very tempting, but I will not, because instead we are going to talk about something that I think is a little bit more broadly applicable. Not that there's anything wrong with jazz, I like it quite a lot. But instead we're going to talk about how do we view stuff. My theology professor said that stuff was a theologically loaded word, and someday I think he's going to write a theology of stuff. I'm looking forward to reading it. I'd write it myself, but I'm just not sure I've got the capacity to do all of that. So what are we talking about when we're talking about stuff? Stuff is everything. It's not just the physical things we have, although that's an enormous part of it. Stuff is also our achievements, the things that we have accomplished, the things that people note us or notice us for. That's all wrapped up into stuff. And we can take a couple of different views of this. Well, there's at least two. And while you know I'm not terribly fond of dichotomies, sometimes they're useful. And we can look at this either from a scarcity perspective or from a plentiful perspective. We can look at our stuff from those two things. And people who look at stuff, their own and everybody else's, from a scarcity perspective, tend to look at stuff the same way we look at a pie. One of the things about a pie is that when a piece is cut out of it, the pie is smaller. There is less pie for everybody else, which is why when I was growing up, anything that needed to be cut, it was cut by one person, and then the first pick went to somebody else. My parents, knowing boys as they did, if we were allowed to cut our own piece of pie, I'm not sure there'd be any pie left for anybody else. But pie is a really good metaphor for some things. Unfortunately, it's a really bad metaphor for stuff. Because people who approach the world from this piece of the pie perspective, or sometimes game theory, for example, calls it a zero-sum game. What people are saying then is that if anybody gets something, that thing is no longer available for anybody else, and the great mass of stuff is smaller by that one thing. Which means anytime anybody else is successful, you can't be equally successful because that bit of success is gone. You might become more successful, something else, but there's only so much to go around. And anytime you lose any, or somebody else gets some, it's a problem. Another way to look at this besides pie is those people who choose to prepare for zombie apocalypse or whatever they're most worried about, and they have a bunker or some secured place filled with stuff to keep them going whenever the bad thing happens, whatever it is. And if anything is taken from there, they have less. Because their perspective is that when they need to make use of it, there will be nothing else. So if they don't have it, it won't exist. If there's a zombie apocalypse, that might be an okay way to run your life. We don't have one yet. Don't think we'll ever have a zombie apocalypse, but whatever might possibly happen, we don't need to worry about that until it does. And instead, let's talk about our orientation towards our stuff and what that can do for us. If we live in a scarcity mindset, it is virtually impossible, I'd say it actually is impossible, for us to look at God in a perspective of anything other than being kind of stingy. That God has made this much and there is no more. And if we look at things that way, we will always be looking with concern at our own stuff and with envy at other people's, or fear even, that somebody might get more because that means we have less, even if our own stuff is not touched. For a scarcity mindset, whenever anybody gets more, I am somehow diminished. And when we put it that way, it's hard to believe that people do this, but people do. I'm sure you have met people who find it almost impossible to celebrate somebody else's good fortune. That somehow when somebody else gets an inheritance, they get a promotion, they get accolades for some good thing they do, there's a group of people that just find that irksome because it means that somebody got something that they can't get anymore. People who come from a plentiful perspective, on the other hand, know perfectly well that there's always more, that it's not a pie unless it's a physical pie. that most of the things in life are not at all like that. And while it's quite true that if you buy a car, I can't buy that car unless you sell it to me, I can still buy a car. There is a finite number of resources on the earth, of course. It's a finite globe. But I think for practical purposes, to look at it in its finitude rather than in all of its prosperity, it just doesn't work. We need to get past this idea that our stuff defines who we are, and that if we somehow don't get everything, it doesn't matter. And if somebody else gets anything, it's our loss. It's not my loss when somebody else is successful. The only time it's my loss is when somebody comes and steals something. And we're not talking about that. We're talking about something else. And when we look at what Paul has to say to Timothy, what we see is that Paul is telling Timothy and us that living with contentment is great gain or is great wealth in and of itself. Because one of the things that you can do, if you look at your stuff from the perspective that there's always lots to go around, is it makes it easier for you to hold on to it a little less tightly, to be less concerned about it. It's hard to be content if you're worried at the same time. I think we all know that. And it's hard to be content with the things we have if we're worried about them. So instead of being worried, Paul tells us to be content with what we have. And he says, the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil. The love of money, not money itself. Money is just an inanimate thing. But the love of money, the desperate desire to acquire money, can cause us all kinds of difficulty. When we step out of being content with what we have, which doesn't mean we don't work to gain the things that we need. It doesn't mean that we just take a sort of draw a line in the sand and say, I'll never have anything else and that's okay. Being content means being content with what you have. And part of what you have is your ability to work to continue to get the things that you need. Being content doesn't mean that you will never go grocery shopping again. It means that when you open the fridge and you see what's there for lunch or supper, you will be happy with what's there and you will make the best use of it. Rather than looking at it and going, well, we only have this. I guess I'll settle for this. A mindset that says you're settling for things is really corrosive, is really destructive to your spiritual well-being, and I commend you to not have one if you can. And instead, look at what you have. And be wary about what you have, because it can cause you problems. And we flip over to Luke, and we look at this parable. Let's remember that a parable is a story. This is not an accurate depiction of the afterlife. There's no place else in Scripture where it suggests that there's going to be an unbridgeable chasm between both sides and we'll be able to see the other. This is Jesus talking to make a point. And so I think we can safely at least speculate that the rich man had a scarcity orientation. Because it's obvious that Lazarus was near this rich man, and yet Lazarus received no benefit from this person. Not only did the rich person not give him money or anything else, he didn't even give him the stuff that fell on the floor. Because it says that Lazarus wished he could eat that, but he couldn't. So we have these two people. Now, we don't know anything about Lazarus, other than the little bits we see here. But I suspect there's at least some kind of a inference that these are opposite kinds of people. Not just rich and poor, but stingy, if you will, and generous. We don't know. Did Lazarus share with other beggars? We're not sure. What we do know is that all of the stuff that the rich man had did him no good when life was over. You've heard it said before, I've never seen a hearse with a U-Haul behind it. When it's over, it's over. Your stuff is left behind. Other people will figure out what to do with it. And sometimes even what you value the most will turn out to be valuable only to you, and that's okay. But we have this at the end where Abraham is talking, Jesus is speaking through Abraham, saying that we don't need the miraculous necessarily to help us do the right thing. In that context, Jesus is saying, you've got the law and the prophets. You've got Moses and what they all have to say. If we look at what Paul says, we have what Paul says. We have the New Testament. We have the example of many people through history, church history and otherwise, who lived their lives in such a way that they weren't holding on to everything they had just in case. They looked at what they had as something to be used. In the same way that we shouldn't keep our gifts to ourselves, we shouldn't keep our stuff to ourselves. We should be careful with it. We should honor what we've got. We shouldn't dismiss it as valueless, because that's not the case. But we shouldn't look at our stuff as summing up our value as a person, or summing up all of our, looking at all of the things we've accomplished and saying, because of that, I deserve to be valued. Because that's not how it works. The infinite God loves each of us infinitely at the same time and has known who we are going to be since before the beginning of the world. Our value comes from our simple existence. What we do with the things that surround us is an opportunity for us to build into others. And on this Presbyterians Sharing Sunday, we're reminded that we can do things to our physical neighbors, to our own community and where we live, and that's wonderful. But we can also have a further reach with our stuff by giving it to Presbyterians Sharing, Food Grains Bank, whatever organization that you choose to support can extend what you do. But you can't do that if you're so worried about your stuff that you have to keep all of it. So how do we view our stuff? Well, hopefully, as gifts from God, because that's what it is, and as a gift from God, if we give that gift to someone else, that doesn't mean that God is never going to give us a gift again. Being content means that you are okay with where you are now, and you are okay with the future, even if you don't necessarily know what it is. I don't like it when I don't know what's coming next. You'd think I'd be used to it by now. I mean, it's a couple of years that I've been looking for work at one point, way or another, still waiting, still looking, still doing things. How am I content? Well, I'm not content as often as I would like. But when I am, it's because I look at what I have and go, this is sufficient for the day I have and the responsibilities that I have. And if it's sufficient for today, why do I think it won't be tomorrow? Instead of looking at things from a scarcity mindset, I'm trying to look from a mindset of abundance, of plenty, of saying that the God who made this extravagant universe is not going to let me just disappear out of neglect. Our God loves us and does great things for us, even when we're not content, and even when we pay too much attention to our stuff. But if we take our mind away from focusing on that, I think we'll find that we have some resources that we can put in other directions. They say money can't buy happiness, because it can't. But what you do with your money can. And there's actual studies to back this one up. One of the best ways to make yourself happy with the money you have is to do good things for other people. Your blood pressure goes down. Dopamine is released. You're just better off, and so is the other person. Science has caught up with what Paul was writing about and what Jesus talked about and what we see in the Old Testament and the prophets. That taking what we have, holding it lightly, being willing to share, doesn't mean that the stuff we have has no value. It just means it's okay to be generous with it, because a generous God gave it to you in the first place. And we'll give you more when you need it. Amen.